is Davin's Den.
And we are back. Detective Dave Daugherty is joining us. Hi, Dave.
Hey, guys.
How's it going, Dave?
Good to see you.
Hey.
Thank you for hanging out with us. So much.
Always a pleasure.
Yes, it's always a pleasure to have you. So much stuff is going on in the news that I want to pick your brain right quick. We had
absolutely.
Thank you. So I want to talk about the a couple things that happened with the Pittsburgh massacre and the California massacre. And isn't it a great state of affairs that we haven't had you on in a few weeks and we have multiple massacres to talk about?
Yeah, I know. I'd love to come on for more uplifting things. Do you have, like, the holiday special I can come back for?
Yes. Well, yeah, that's usually when Joe tells us about awful Santa Claus gigs. We'd love to have you for that.
They're coming.
But you have to dress as an elf, Dave.
Well, I got the right height for it, I guess, so no problem.
Yeah, and you have to ride in Joe's sleigh. You'll appear with jingle bells and chizzing sea monkeys.
Don't do that to him. No.
Oh, well, Joe.
Oh, okay.
That's how Joe appears. Joe's running the show. He's evil Santa. All right. Anyway. All right. So let's talk about a couple things that happened with these. I have questions. So we know this madman walked into Pittsburgh synagogue, didn't like Jews, didn't like that they were helping refugees, was very open about his disdain of Jewish people and refugees, posted on social media. People saw it. So my question is, I don't know the answer to this. So what happens if I see somebody is posting scary things on social media, saying they hate Irish or Jews or Muslims or whatever, and I call the police? Can you act on that?
Oh, well, police officers have to act on it, even if it's unfounded. Let's say the comment is kind of vague and not really a direct threat. If the person that's reading that comment feels threatened by it or is even worried about it, and they bring it to the police's attention, and the police don't do anything, imagine what would happen if it was a valid threat and something was done. So what happens a lot of times is police will follow up on frivolous or, you know, harassing complaints, you know, and it's really not serious. But again, we have to look at all of those complaints seriously, whether it's valid, whether it's logical, reasonable, whatever. If somebody makes a complaint, that we have to report it. That's the bottom line for that.
Did your police department ever get anything from any of the, like, whether it be Twitter or Facebook? Did any of them contact you guys directly?
No, not directly, but we did get, I can tell you, countless complaints from residents saying, hey, you know, this person posted this on Facebook. Excuse me. On Facebook or Twitter or something like that, and we have to look into it. And again, it was hundreds, but I can tell you, of those hundreds of them, I can only think of three or four that actually led to a charge against the person.
That's still good, though.
Or even just a mental health evaluation. That happens more often than not. There's more mental health evaluations than there are for criminal charges in these types of situations where somebody reports a third party to us.
Oh, I'm glad you brought up the mental health thing, because when we were talking, when the California killer in April, the police were called to his house for a domestic disturbance. He lives with his mother. It later came out that the mother told the neighbor that she was afraid of him, lives in fear. So the police come over to their house in April. Mental health people come out. I don't know. You can explain what this is exactly. And they evaluate him, and they determine that he's not a threat to himself or other people. So what does that mental health evaluation look like?
Well, that's a great question. So I'll explain how it is in New Jersey. All right. So let's say I usually, when I teach this class, actually, I teach a class on mental health, or I used to anyway. And I tell the students, the trainees, there's three scenarios you're going to be presented with. When you're called to somebody's house and there's been a complaint or an allegation about somebody's mental health, you're going to go there and you're going to have three different scenarios. The first scenario is you're going to go there and the guy is going to be rolling around in his own piss and puke and painting the walls with blood. Okay? He's obviously a danger to himself and others.
You've been to Pip's house.
What's that?
I said you've been to Pip's house.
That was supposed to be confidential, Dave! God damn it!
I'm sorry, Pip. Well, that's the first scenario. That's scenario one. Scenario three on the other side, we'll get to two in a minute. Scenario three on the other side is you go to somebody's house and you talk to this person and they're like, I never said that, or this is what I said and this is what I meant. And you look around and you interview other people. And let's make it even easier. You're convinced individually that this person is not a threat. That's the third scenario. So you walk away. The second scenario is where the trouble comes in. The second scenario is you're not really sure. Here's an example. My wife calls up and says, my husband has made some comments about hurting himself. We as police go there. The husband says, no, I never said any of that stuff. The wife says, yeah, he did. And, you know, what do you do in that scenario? In that case, you have a couple options. And basically what we do is we just do interviews as police officers. And we would also contact a local county health mental health organization called 262 Help. That's just in Bergen County. We'd call them, and what they would do is they would send somebody down in that scenario too to interview the person, you know, the experts, if you will. And then the expert would come down, and the expert could actually say, yeah, you have scenario one here. He's got to go to the hospital, even against his will. Or scenario three, where the screener will say, no, he's fine. We can leave. So you follow me so far?
Yeah.
But here's the problem, though. And we're talking about this shooter. Yeah, the cops were there. I read that, too. You have to remember that even if you're a mental health expert, it's still really hard to gauge people who are psychotic or sociopathic. As a matter of fact, it seems this guy, he was very intelligent, well-spoken. So if there's one complaint, he could say all the right things, answer every question right, reassure the investigators, reassure the police officers. Where in the back of his mind, though, he's thinking about how he's going to kill people as soon as they leave.
But let me ask you this. So say he's doing that. He's playing that card. But the person who called in and complained going, he's lying. I know what he's doing. This guy's dangerous. What do you do in that situation?
Well, again, it's a balancing act because with the Fifth Amendment, you know, you have the right to, you have the right to due process before, you know, your liberty is seized. So what do you do in that case? Do you detain him? And we have, where, you know, and a police officer and an investigator says, yeah, this person is fine. What do you do then? Do the police go and detain him and violate his rights until he can have an actual hearing in front of a judge? And by the way, a judge is not, you know, a mental health expert either. The evaluator would have a better say and a better handle on things than a judge would in a due process hearing. But it's a great point, though. You have to remember, though, that it's our freedoms come at, unfortunately, high expense sometimes. But, you know, the legislature could come down and say, you know what, in a situation like that where the wife says he's nuts and he says he's not, an evaluator says he's good, they can make legislation that says, too bad, you're going to get detained for 3 days. We don't care. But, you know, that's not the country we live in.
Then you run into false imprisonment if, you know, right. She's just making allegations, yeah. And he's fine.
Right. Also, Dave, yeah. Another thing is, what if that person also says he keeps firearms as well? What tack do you take on that?
That's a really good question, too, Joe. And again, I could not just take that. If I was there and I had scenario one, where the guy's, like Pip's house is an example.
Right.
I was in Pip's house.
Again, confidentiality. Again, Pip,
really?
Well, don't make me laugh. It makes me cough. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I have that
okay.
effect on men.
Funny.
So in that scenario, and I forgot what my point was now.
Well, Joe asked if there's firearms. If the wife says there's firearms.
So if it's scenario one, then yes, police officers could make the case to take the guns for safekeeping is what we would call that,
mm-hmm.
And we would. But in scenario three, we could not do that because of Fourth Amendment rights and Second Amendment rights. You know, so that's an issue. And then in the second scenario, where you're not really sure, an investigator comes down. An investigator could petition, make a compelling argument or petition the court to say, hey, I was at this guy's house yesterday. We're not really sure if he's a danger, but I think that we should still take away his guns.
Mm.
That's what could happen there, too. But if I could just share a personal story about how hard it is to gauge people in their current state of mind. May I?
No.
Yes.
Absolutely not, Dave.
Yeah, we'd like you to shut up right now.
You've spoken enough. The poor Joe's gathering his guns as we speak.
Funny.
Yes, go ahead.
So I remember when I was a rookie and I was still in training and I was riding around with another veteran officer who's still a good friend of mine to this day. And we get that actual scenario where a wife calls us and says, it wasn't as severe. Wife calls us and just says to us, I'm worried about my husband. I won't mention names, obviously, or anything, okay? So we asked her for more information. She says, I don't know. He never said he's going to hurt himself, but I think he's depressed. Is he taking medication? No. Is he still going to work? Yes. Is he still eating? Yes. Have his habits changed at all? Not at all. So she's like, I just think he's depressed. So we speak to him. Are you depressed? No, not at all. He starts telling us jokes. I said, have you ever thought about hurting yourself? You got offended by that almost, it seemed. Long story short, my partner, my training officer, and I look at each other, and we make a determination that we're pretty sure we have scenario one. Also, bear in mind, though, this was before the mental health rules changed a little bit. There really weren't the three scenarios back there. It was only one or two. I'm sorry, one or three. So we're speaking to him, and him and I are totally convinced that the guy's fine. And then the wife says to us, because she heard the whole conversation, she goes, you know what? I'm sure he's fine, too. We did one step further. We spoke to some of the neighbors. Oh, yeah, he's fine. He's no change in habits or anything. He's such a nice, jovial guy. Guess what happens the next day? We leave the house. Next day, I'm working at the police desk. Port Authority comes in, Port Authority police, and they show me a picture, a Polaroid picture. Obviously, somebody who's DOA, somebody who's dead. Yeah. And they said, do you know this guy? And I did not recognize him. And it was the same guy that I had seen the day before. He jumped off the George Washington Bridge. And, right. You know, I carry that to this day. You know, but at first I thought to myself, I did something wrong. And I realized later on that if somebody tells you all the right answers and you're doing the best that you can, that's the best that you can do.
Right.
So the moral of the story is that it is very hard to judge somebody's mental health in a lot of situations.
Do they bring up? Do they have mental health experts come with you on calls like this?
Yeah, there'll be times when 262 or the agency would contact us and say, "Hey, we got a complaint from a resident." Because complaints can come in one of two ways: they can go right to the police department, or they can go to the mental health organization. So there have been plenty of times where they would contact us and say, hey, we're going to go evaluate this guy. Can you come with us? And, of course, we go there, and we just do what they ask us to do.
Now, I got a question, Dave. Basically, with these two shootings that went on, to try to remedy this, is this more of a gun – should we focus on gun control or looking more into the mental health of the society that we're in now? Because it seems that people are more agitated. They post the things on Facebook, they act out. I think due to the with video games, that if you're not in the right mind, you can't differentiate between real life and a video game. So moving forward, do we concentrate more on gun control or addressing mental health or both?
Allow me, Dave, before you answer. I will say other countries have video games and mental health issues and all the and social media like we all have. They don't have the massacres. Now, Dave, please.
Yeah, all right. Well, first of all, I got to say, I do not believe at all that video games lead to mental health issues, okay? I think that's a farce. I think that sometimes mental health or gun control advocates will try and use any excuse possible, in my opinion, but that one I don't agree with. However, and we said that we talked about this on one of your prior shows, where I've always said that mental health laws are not strong enough. The background for a firearm is not strong enough. I think that a sane citizen should be allowed to legally and smartly and responsibly own firearms. But I do think that there's not enough screening that we can always do more. And I've said this before too, and it's hard for me to say this as a police officer, but If I say that somebody can have a gun after I do a background on them, and then they go and kill somebody, I should have some liability in that. I really do. The fear of liability would make me want to do my job so much more harder. You know.
Wouldn't like the gun proponents say, well, then nobody's going to get guns because the police officer doesn't want to be affected by them. Who are they going to give a gun out to?
No. And the way it would work actually, and this is the way it still works in New Jersey. Let's say me as a cop, I see you're nuts, you know, or I don't think you should own a firearm for whatever reason. And this has happened 100 times. I would deny the person, and what they do is they go to the county courthouse and they make an appeal. And 9 times out of 10, guess what happens to that appeal?
It doesn't get overturned.
They get the guns. You know why? Because judges are not civilly liable for their decisions.
Oh.
So they don't care, you know. It's just easier to say, okay, fine, here you go, get out of here. And again, I'm not saying anything bad against all judges, but that's basically how it works in New Jersey.
Well, I'll take a shot at answering Joe's question. I don't think it's either or.
Take a shot, no pun intended.
I see what I did. You see what you did there.
I'll take
a stab at it, all right, Joe? Stupid. I think it's false to say it's either or. It's both. I mean, mental health is an issue, as Dave just said. But and so is the ease of getting guns. And you know, Dave has talked in the past ago, it's not necessarily the AR-15, it's all the attachments that you put on the AR-15, which, you know, New Jersey has limitations. You can only put three on, which is a law that Jersey has, but it might not be the same law in Florida. Mm-hmm. So it's comprehensive. It's a misnomer to say one or the other. And people that really want to solve the problem don't look at one or the other. It's both. But as... What, Dave?
There are other problems too, like the whole gun show loophole thing. That's a problem, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a significant problem. You know, but I also find now I noticed in these past two cases in Pittsburgh and in California, I believe in both those cases the guns were legally purchased.
Yes,
I know California definitely. I'm not sure about Pittsburgh, but I know in other shootings in the past
it was legally purchased. In fact, he posted a lot of pictures of him with the guns on social media, which is not a crime or necessarily, you know, something that should raise some alarms. But if you're also posting hate speech and then the guns, that should raise some alarms.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But yeah, so I think there does have to be reform, but I do not think that the Second Amendment should be repealed, but there has to be reform. That, you know, the country has gone so far past, you know, the basics of the Second Amendment. You know, there's so much more to it. It's not that simple anymore. I mean, the Second Amendment ironically, I think the Second Amendment is actually the shortest written amendment. Do you believe that?
Well, they were doing it at gunpoint.
That should probably be the longest, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, listen. I mean, the Second even NRA members, the rank and file of the NRA, want some common sense gun reforms. It's just the lobbyists.
Absolutely.
It's the lobbyists, yeah. The people that we see, the Juan LePierre, the Dana Loesches, the Ted Nugents, the ones that are on the board, the ones that are on the take from the gun companies. Because really, the NRA gets most of its money from the gun companies. You know, you listen, if everybody's arming up, if every good guy gets a gun, you know who that's good for? The gun companies. Because they're selling more guns and bullets and gun lockers and all that stuff, all the stuff that goes with it.
But also, it's a matter. I'm sorry, Dave. It's also a matter of having the government put some money towards more mental health issues, because like more mental health services. Because God knows they've just been cut.
I think Trump in his health care thing, that was one of the things they wanted to cut. I think that has been cut,
and we need that more.
Exactly. That's why you can't
take more than him ever.
Can't take him seriously. Go on, Dave. We're sorry.
No, it's okay. But yeah, so I think there has to be reform, and I said that before, you know, and there are so many other things that can be changed too that are relatively simple. Like, as an example, in New Jersey, if you want to buy a handgun, the maximum you can apply for is three during a 60-day period. And you can only buy one handgun for each of that 30 days, and then you can reapply after 60 days for another 30 days, so you have 90 days total. So that's a total of three handguns in 3 months.
Yeah, but that's going to ruin Christmas. That's going to ruin Christmas. The 12 nights of Christmas is really about 12 different types of guns. Don't you ruin my holiday, mister.
Well, I mean, I'm saying to myself, I think that's very generous, and I don't think it should be that generous.
Okay.
I mean, you know, there's no reason why somebody needs to buy three handguns. Unless you're a cop who's retiring or something like that, that's different. But,
well,
you know,
I don't know, Dave. I don't know about that, you know, because, you know, and we've talked about this before, you know, former police, former military, they get to keep their weapons. The guy who shot up in California, former Marine, and we've talked about this before, you know, where there should be the check-ins, because unfortunately, a lot of former police, a lot of former military, they suffer from PTSD. They're, you know,
and
most of the time.
That's what happened with the guy in California.
Right. Most of the time, these people harm themselves or their spouse. That's usually who they harm. But, you know.
Well, like I told you before, I think it should be like a license.
Yep.
You know, like in New Jersey, if you're 65, I think you have to go for a retest. And I think if you want to be able to own a gun, that you have to give up some of your other rights and go for a mental health check frequently.
I agree.
I believe that entirely.
Let me,
like I said, thank God I'm exempt because I'm nuts. So.
let me ask you about real quick about the pipe bomber. So this pipe bomber is driving around in a white van, which should always be a red flag. Nobody good drives a white van.
I drove a white van.
I rest my case. Only creeps drive white
vans.
There
you go.
But on his white van, he's got like Hillary Clinton in like a gun scope. I mean, as a police officer, is that when you see, like, if you were to ever see decals like that on a car, would that could you pull them over for that?
I was trying to think how to answer this.
Honestly,
it's a cross between First Amendment rights and Fourth Amendment rights once again. But I'd say this though, when you look at stuff like that, if there is a specific threat, then yes, it should be investigated, and the person could lose some of his civil liberties and might both get pulled over by a cop. But it's also state law, also. But then the other side of the coin, that's free speech. But it's really not. What you just said is true because it was specific to Hillary Clinton. It's a threat of violence against Hillary Clinton, if you will. You know? So, yeah, I could see that. The guy should understand if he gets referred to, you know, a mental health agency because of that one sticker.
Well,
you know?
Let's think about this. Let's say if the police did see – I mean, how do you not see this? How do you not pay attention? The guy's advertising he's a nut.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if the police did pull him over and say, you know what, we're going to have to search your van, and he says no, and then you get a warrant to search his car, you're going to find little pipe bomb workshop there. I mean, if the police would have done
– That's the thing. See, like, if I pulled – let's say the guy's in front of me, and I saw that sticker, and I thought this guy might be a nut. That's different than thinking that the guy might be armed. I can only search his van if I think there is weapons or contraband in there. If I have probable cause to believe that he has weapons or contraband. Somebody could be a nut and not have weapons or contraband. So what I probably would have done is I would have stopped the guy and interviewed him. What's with the sticker back here?
Mm-hmm.
And based on his answers, I would either do one, two, or three, as we talked about before. Obviously, I'm leaning towards scenario one or two because of I saw the pictures of the van. The guy is a nut. But you have to understand, I can't, even if he is a nut job, I can't search his van. Furthermore, let's say that I do actually take this guy away in handcuffs and bring him to the loony bin. In that case, still, I cannot search his van. I can search his person to make sure he's not going to be, he has no weapons on him and would hurt the hospital staff. But I cannot search his van. I can't search his house. Nothing.
Yeah, but you could go to the court, right? And then wouldn't that give you probable cause when you get a warrant for that?
Well, here's the thing, though. So what do I go to the court with, Your Honor? I'd like make application to search this guy's van because he had a sticker with the stickers, abhorrent, obviously, but he had a sticker of Hillary Clinton and crosshairs. I don't think a judge is going to give me a
no. But you also have your interview. You also have the answers that he gave you on the interview.
Well, yeah, that depends on the answers he gives me. If he says, "Yeah, I own guns and yeah, I'm going to hurt people," well, in that case, that would be a good thing because what I mean by a good thing is that would be the public safety exception. In that case, I could search immediate area because of statements that he's made that I think that the public could be in immediate danger.
What happens if he just said something like,
"I have guns, I can't do it."
What happens if he just said, I hate that bitch and I wish she was dead. Not I'm going to kill him. Not I want to hurt her, but I wish that bitch was dead. Where does that leave you?
Again, it's totality of circumstance, you know? If he makes that comment, it's kind of vague, and he has that sticker, that's less probable cause or reasonable suspicion. But if he says, "Yeah, I'm going to kill her," and yes, he has that stupid sticker on his van, that brings it up a little bit more to reasonable suspicion, I guess, but not probable cause. And there's a difference between those two things. Basically, that's they call that coupled mental state. Reasonable suspicion means that you're pretty sure that you're reasonably sure that something's amiss here. Probable cause means you're pretty damn sure that something's amiss there. And I can only search or apply for a search warrant if I have probable cause, and I'm pretty damn sure. But again, it's going to be totality of circumstance. You know, we're just talking about two or three different things right now, but there could be other things too. Has the guy been arrested in the past for gun violence? Have other people, has he made threats against other people? You just keep building up all these things to get to your probable cause so you can get the search warrant. The moral of the story, though, is that, again, unfortunately, we live in a country of rights, and sometimes our Constitution is not perfect. You know, it's a breathing document, in my opinion, that has to be amended. And I certainly think that there have to be some changes to some amendments and to gun purchases.
Mm. Hey, Dave, I got a question for you. Getting back to that, the nut with the van. If you felt uneasy and you still had, there was not the probable cause and you really couldn't get a warrant or something like that, would you be able to go back to the station house and say, "Hey, look, if you could just put the word out for every watch that goes out, if you see the van, don't pull them over, but just keep your eye on them, you know, just."
Yeah, we do that all the time, all right. As a matter of fact. We had, like in New Jersey, again, we had something called the track system.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically a computer system that goes to every single police department in the state and some other states. And what we do is we'd upload a photo of this guy, we'd upload a picture of the van, upload a description of him and what our concerns are, and we would send it out to all their police agencies. So this way, yes, we would do something like that.
Okay, thank you.
Would something like that get kicked up to the feds too, like the FBI, the Secret Service, because, you know, it's a former first lady?
Yeah, definitely. Put it this way, if I was a cop and I saw that, yes, I would interview him, and I would also send it up to chain of command to the Secret Service.
All right, so now when I watch all these massacres, most of the time the police go rushing in into the fray to try to save lives and, you know, apprehend the person who's doing all the shooting. So the police are always the front line of defense. So I got to thinking, you know, when I think of teachers, I think of a teachers union, how they lobby to get what they feel their members wishes or the best things for their members to get things for them. Can the police unions lobby Congress, Senate, go, hey, we want some more common sense gun reform? Like, you know, the 10,000 people that, you know, under Obama were deemed nuts and shouldn't have guns, that under Trump they can't have guns. You know, we want to use our clout as a union, our membership, to lobby Congress to get that put back on.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. I can answer that from my experience in New Jersey. Just bear with me one second, okay?
He's getting all choked up.
What is he?
You're going to
get a bong over there? What are you doing?
Jesus Christ. What's wrong with you? What's wrong? How dare you impugn the character of our friend Detective Dave?
I love him. He's a respected officer.
Not when you make assertions. Because
I'm a stupid-ass comic.
You should have just stopped with stupid ass. You would have been correct.
I knew we were in trouble with Dave when he started driving around with those Grateful Dead bears on his car.
Right. I think you got me sick, Pip. That's what I think happened.
Not from long distance.
That's
not
why you
again.
Get the snot shovel. That
That's
way
right.
you don't have to touch Pip.
It's not shovel.
Again,
okay,
confidentiality.
To answer your question, though, I would explain my experience with lobbying and police in New Jersey. Most of the time, police unions don't actually lobby candidates. As a matter of fact, in the past 5 years, the only time I could think of any police union actually lobbying with a candidate was, Rutherford with, what was his name, McKnight? I forget the guy's name.
What year is this?
So anyway, that's it. And I know that they do, that unions do lobby, but most of the time, like, let me give you an example how the state PBA would usually do things. What they would do is they would listen to the candidates' policies and thoughts on certain ideas that are important to law enforcement, such as like benefits, you know, stuff like that. And then based on that, they would make a recommendation to endorse that candidate. Now, that recommendation to endorse is just that. It's not mandatory. It's just the police or the union exec board saying, hey, we like candidate A based on his views and philosophies. But people in the union can still vote however they want. But very rarely do the police go out of their way and actually lobby with, like, you know, doing stuff for the candidate. So I can't really think of many of the times when we would actually go to a candidate and say, hey, we want to lobby with you and we're going to endorse you. Usually the exec board would just do research on the candidate. As a matter of fact, like with Donald Trump as an example, and they do this all the time, the state union actually sends a questionnaire to the candidate. Saying, hey, what are your feelings on this? What are your feelings on this? What are your feelings on this? And then based on that, they would usually make a determination to endorse a certain candidate. Very rarely does the exec board of a union sit down with, you know, a candidate before an election to talk about the issues.
Do you think it's time that the police union started flexing a little bit more muscle? I mean, you guys are on the front line. I mean, are the rank and file police, do they feel like you do, that, you know, we need the Second Amendment? It's an important amendment, but, you know, we do want some gun reform.
Yeah, I think that most balanced police officers, you know, calm-minded police officers feel the way I do, that there should be some reform. Granted, you're going to have, like we always talk about, you have the 80-10-10 principle, the Pareto principle. You know, 10% are going to be nuts, 10% are going to be total pacifists, and the other 80% in the middle is where we want to, you know, address their concerns. But yes, I do think that it's there are majority of police officers feel like I do. that's my belief anyway.
So then if that's the case, if that's the case, and the union heads are not doing anything, is it more incumbent on the rank and file to go, listen, man, this is our asses on the line. We're the ones who rush into the fray. You know, we want to start supporting, you know, senators, congressmen, state, federal, whatever it is, that and support these things. We're going to start throwing our money behind it, start putting out commercials behind it. Is that what needs to happen? Because the Republicans like to say that they're the ones who support the police. And I think both left and right support the police, for the record. But the Republicans like to make it that they're the only ones who support, that they're the blue shield, and that the liberals don't. Is it time for the police to go, this isn't a partisan issue, this is just what we want for our safety and your family safety, and as experts? Because, you know, some doctors tried to come out and say, because they're the ones fixing everybody up in the emergency room, and the NRA said, stay in your lane. We don't want to hear from the doctors. I'd like to see the NRA try to do that with the police. I mean,
I agree with you, Davin. I think that there should be much more conversations going on between police unions and candidates. I really do. Or even, you know, current elected officials. I definitely do think there should be more conversation. Unfortunately, I think that what happens a lot is that the elected officials or the candidates don't really have too much time to talk to the police about their issues. And if they do, it's only for PR. That's what I think.
Yeah, but that's on you guys. That's on you guys, not you personally, but that's on the unions to expose those phonies. To go, listen,
yeah.
And they came here for a meet and greet. We have some real issues. They didn't give us the time to talk about it, so we're not going to endorse them, and this is why. I mean, you guys got to be like the teachers union. I hate to say it, but they have to fight for you guys, and this is life and death.
But don't forget, I get your point, but don't forget, teachers have tenure. And nothing against teachers having tenure, whatever, you know, but it's a lot harder. Believe it or not, it's harder to fire a teacher than it is to fire a cop.
No, but I get what I'm saying is the teachers union fight for what they perceive are the concerns of the rank and file. Whether you agree or disagree is irrelevant to my point. What I'm saying is your union leaders need to be fighting for you guys in that same way. That's what my point is.
I agree. And what I'm trying to say in response to that is I think that police unions try and bite their tongue a lot more than they should, and that has to change.
Right.
So I'm agreeing with you. I'm trying to explain why that's the culture that we've had up to this point. Now I think that has to change. I think that police unions should go out there and say, we don't care what you think of us, but we're going to tell you how we feel, if that makes sense.
You know how it'd be really powerful? Like if the police unions put out like 30-second ads with widows. Of police widows and children of policemen that have been killed in the line of fire. Listen, we need this. We're out there protecting you. And now, you know, this is what we care about. And shame these politicians into doing the right thing instead of just, you know, kissing the NRA's ass and looking for their A-plus, ranking for the NRA. And like I said, the rank and file, stats show, polls show 70-80% of the rank and file NRA members, law-abiding gun owners, agree for the type of gun reform you're talking about. Not crazy shit like we're going to take all your guns, but just common sense that most even-minded people could say, all right, that makes sense. We can do that. I mean, that's really what needs to happen to move. I think that's what needs to happen to move this conversation forward in this country. Because obviously it's not dead kids. Dead kids obviously means nothing. Because all you get when there's dead kids is thoughts and prayers, and now's not the time to talk about it. And unfortunately, dead kids holding protests and rallies doesn't mean shit. So maybe it has to be, the men and women in blue who are the ones rushing in to the fucking fray after people are being massacred. Maybe it's one more thing that we have to put on the police to once again protect us. I hate to be that way, but it just seems like maybe that's the only thing that's going to work. Because I'll tell you one thing. No Republican wants to be on the opposite side of the police. No Republican wants to have, you know, a bunch of policemen hitting super PACs or unions coming out against them because they feel that they're not doing what they can to protect the police. They don't want that.
Yeah. And like you're saying, especially since the NRA is for it, the police should be for it. So why not approach the government and work it out? I agree 100% with that, Devin.
Good.
And I also feel like I was saying before, I think that we need to really take a hard look at this because you didn't hear about this stuff. It happened, but you didn't hear about it as much. It didn't happen as much.
The Brady Bill. That when that went away, what was that, 2004? Or when was that? It went away sometime around then. But when that went away, there was a lot more of these massacres.
Right. Yeah. And I do you think it's because society has changed? Or maybe it's
Absolutely.
You need to take a look.
Yeah, but again, it's again. I mean, how different are we than Canada? How different are we than England or Australia? We're the only country. They have mentally fucked up people. We're the only country that has mentally fucked up people. They're getting guns and going into and routinely doing it. Now, you could go, well, this happened then and that story happened then. Yes. But there was something like 312 days in the year. We've had 307 gun massacres. That's a fucking problem. That's a unique problem to the United States. So, yes, like I said.
Honestly, all I can say is something has to change in the U.S. And how much more bloodshed is it going to take before that happens?
Well, that's what I said, Dave. They don't care about dead kids. Yeah. We've seen that time and again. After Sandy Hook, nothing changed. After Parkland, nothing changed. They don't care about dead kids. They just want to send thoughts and prayers and say the right thing. They don't care. And you got to arm everybody. And we've talked about that before. The last thing a police officer wants is to walk into the fucking OK Corral when you got to figure out who's the good guys, who's the bad guys.
Yeah, agreed.
So... Dave, I want to ask you this. So the other day, I went to the movies, and now I found myself, like I did on flights, I'm checking everybody out. I'm looking. Could they have a gun? Do they look crazy? Why is that guy sitting by himself before the movie? Do you find yourself doing that now?
I've always done that as a cop, but I'll say this, though. What you just said actually goes to Joe's point about the culture changing. The culture has changed. You know, me, like I said, because I'm a cop, I always do that. It was training, and I can't turn it off.
Right.
But you find yourself doing that now, so you have changed. Culture has changed.
It's not a good feeling. It's not a good feeling. You're a father. Do you worry about your kid in ways that, like, our parents never had to worry about us?
Absolutely. I mean, by the time I was my daughter's age, I probably had gone to the city about 15 times already. You know, she just went for the first time. And I was extremely worried for her. Mm-hmm. The first time that she went.
Right.
Actually, she went twice.
That you know
both times.
And our day was we went to Canal Street to get some cheap Rolexes. So it's interesting because, you know, I find that the right wants to people that want control guns, we're weak, we're snowflakes, we're pussies, we're libtards. But you're hearing from an independent, by the way. He's certainly not a conservative or a liberal. Independent. But you're hearing from a guy on the front line and saying, listen, it's not about being a pussy. There's just some common sense that needs to be done. So I really would like that type of argument, the argument that Dave makes from the men and women in blue and the retired men and women in blue and the spouses and the widows and the kids. I'd really like to hear that argument presented to the Congress and the senators and the president who won't do shit. And yeah, people are going to say, well, Obama had 2 years where he could have done it. You got to remember two things. First of all, Obama heard when he was coming in that he's going to take their guns. So that was in his head. So it's like, oh, fuck, if I do this, I'm done. Also, his big initiative, you could say whether it was right or wrong, whether it's successful or not successful, was health care. I mean, that was his big thing. Now, you know, if the liberals get everything in 2020, they might try to do gun reform. But I really think the only way where everybody will be somewhat at ease, where gun owners will be at ease and liberals will be at ease, if it's the police leading the way on this and go, this is why it's important. We see it every day. We're risking our lives to protect you, and we do it, and it's our duty, but there's no reason why it should be extra dangerous than it needs to be for us. There's no reason why every time I walk up to a car on a traffic stop, I got to fear for my life that this guy has a heavy-powered gun, right?
Agreed. Honestly, if police led the way with their communities behind them, mm-hmm. that would be overwhelming.
Well, Dave, how can we make that happen? Is there something that you and I could be doing? And if there is, we'll talk about it more off the air. But is there something that we could be doing? Because you're a smart guy, and you have connections, and I'm moderately funny, so I bring that. Is there something we could be doing? And if there is, let's talk about it off the air and make it happen.
Well, honestly, what you're doing right now, it is helping, in my opinion, because maybe you're changing some listeners' minds. Maybe some of your listeners are saying, holy cow, those guys have a good point. Maybe we should do more. Maybe we should encourage our police to do more, or our own communities. So I think we're doing it now, but we certainly could talk more about it later.
Well, in my opinion, what they should do is maybe the police come out with an announcement or a thing.
Public service announcement.
Or we want to put together a plan on gun reform, not take the weapons away, but we need a plan that concentrates on mental health, screening.
Some guns are going to be taken away, Joe.
But that's the thing. It's getting to a point where we need to take a look at it.
I think we're past the point, with all due respect.
Yeah.
I think we're way past. I think Sandy Hook should have been that fucking point, if you want me to be completely honest. I know there was crisis actors. I understand. But I think when you see a bunch of six-year-olds fucking mowed down in the school, I think a responsible country would have said, whoa, we got to stop. We're not that country, unfortunately.
Well, we got to take a look at it. Even in Sandy Hook, I mean,
we got to do more than take a look at it. But we got to start the steps. That's what I'm talking about here.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. Starting the steps, giving reasons on the mental health. You take examples from the shootings. The people are shooting. This was the pattern. This is what we need to look at.
And I get it. And they always say, well, you can't stop everybody. I get that, but you can stop some.
Well, to the point where people are arguing about which is it, guns or mental health. You know what? Why are we arguing? Why are we wasting time arguing about it? Let's work on both.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
That's what I said. It's a false choice.
It is a false choice.
It's absolutely both.
It's a debate that is used to keep action from happening.
Correct. And you know what? Honestly, it's gonna take the members of the government to just say no to the NRA. But I think we're on to something here with the police.
But like I said, with the whole thing for putting out a whole comprehensive package of ideas. And this way it could go back and forth, and with any idea, then you frame it and then you kind of try to come to an agreement and maybe enact something.
Listen, honestly, I mean, I like that, but I don't think these people in government don't respond to anything except loss of votes.
If you think about it right now, is anybody in the Senate or the Congress creating bills about gun reform right now? I don't think so.
There actually have been. I believe in Congress, there was. I believe Pelosi and some Republicans actually worked on something. It just doesn't get forward because it's not going to get passed. But that's what I'm saying. Yeah. We got to put the. It doesn't matter. Nobody's going to listen to me doing it because I'm. And like I said, nobody's going to listen to kids and the parents of dead kids. We've seen that because the people on the right go, oh, look at them with their little rally with their little pussy hats. I've seen it. I mean, I hate to be crass about it, but I fucking had enough. That's why I'm at this point. That's why I'm serious about this. I mean, I'm glad that Dave and I are of the same mind. That this might be once again, and I said to Dave the other day, the problem with the society is we push all of our ills onto three categories of people, onto the police, onto the doctors, and onto the teachers.
Mm-hmm.
That all the shit that we should be taking care of on our own, we should be taking care of our kin, our own, we don't. We push out, and we like, let the police deal with it. Let the teachers deal with it. Let me ask you
a question. And the people that come out and have these rallies for gun control, do they actually have a platform, a list of things that can be done?
Yes, they've met with the president, and he looked very thoughtful for the hour that he met with them and everything. Yeah, we should do something. Yes, but nothing happens because they don't have the votes. That's why I'm saying when you got a union behind you, and like I said, no Republican wants to be on the opposite side of the police. Mm. They don't want to be on the opposite side of the military. They don't want to be on the opposite side of the police. Nobody wants to be on the opposite side of the military or police, to be honest with you. But especially Republicans. If you have police unions going, enough. We're tired of seeing our men and women, our brothers and sisters in blue, dying as we rush into it. We're happy to rush in. That's the oath we swear to do. But it doesn't have to be as frequent as this.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to mean something. Because like I said, dead kids mean nothing in this country. I realize that, and I know it's very crass, but I've seen enough of this shit.
Right. They don't care.
They don't care. Now's not the time. And dead Jews certainly don't mean anything.
Right.
Dead Jews don't mean...
What? I would tell you most police unions, if we did rally and contact our legislatures to change the laws, it would not be for, I'm speaking from my personal opinion, and I think that the majority of my brothers and sisters would feel the same way. We would not lobby or try and create change for our own benefit. We would try and create change for the kids and the other victims that are not cops that can't protect themselves. That's why I want change. And I think I speak of the majority of my brothers and sisters in uniform.
Well, I would do a two-pronged. I would have the retired and active police taking your approach, and then I would have the widows and the kids of police men and women that have been killed in action taking the other approach. We want it for our loved ones and for the ones who are protecting us now.
Right. That's why I said it would be even more powerful if the police led the way with the community behind them.
Well,
you know, together.
Let's see if we'll talk off the air. You know, we always chat. If you could think of something that we could actually work together on constructively, you know, whether it's even getting more thoughts, figuring out how to organize, figure out how to make something happen, I'd be happy to work with you on that.
Okay. Maybe you should run for office, to be honest.
Yeah, my wife won't let me.
Why, is she Republican?
No, it's been discussed. She does not want me running for office. You know, whatever. Because it's very invasive. Well, it's very invasive. I mean, we always joke about all the things that I say on the show, which are terrible, and I would own that. I'm not even worried about that.
Oh, boy.
All right, shut up. You. Most things directed at you and you deserve it. But she doesn't want me to. But thank you for thinking I'd be a qualified candidate for dog catcher.
I could be your driver, your bodyguard. I'd be your own personal secret service.
I'd like somebody a little bigger.
I could sit on a phone book in the car. I can see over the dash.
Funny. Phone book? Wow, okay, 1992. All right, Dave. Always a pleasure.
Dave,
thank you
so much for calling in.
Thank you, Dave.
Likewise. It's always my pleasure. Always great talking to you.
All right,
so,
take care.
So we'll be in touch when you come up with some ideas, and I'm sure we'll have you on again in the near future.
Okay. Sounds good. 10-4.
Take care. Bye-bye.
10-4. Feel better.
Thanks. Yeah. Thanks, guys. Bye.
I'll stop breathing on Dave next time. I can't help it. Even over the phone lines.
Every time he comes on, I learn something.
I know.
It's always good when he comes on. He really he
Oh, for fuck's sake. God, we're still talking about you.
Are you gone now?
That's so funny. It's like
I didn't talk shit about.
Yeah, that sucked. That Dave, awful.
That'll be the last time he's on.
No,
the
it's
show.
It's always good to have him. It's always good to have him on here, yeah. Because you could get the you get an idea of how the law works, how maybe the law can be adjusted.
All right, let's make some haste. I want to talk about a dead pimp.
Wait, that sounded like dead.
A dead pimp.
Pimps,
you stink. And then I have a very very timely Drunks in the News, which will be brief, and then we'll take a break. So I want to get through this. All right? Nevada brothel owner and reality TV star Dennis Hoff died last month, but still won a heavily GOP state legislative district after fashioning himself as the Donald Trump style Republican candidate. County officials will appoint the Republican to take Hoff's place in the state assembly. You know the difference between Hoff and Trump?
No.
One of them's alive. Race to that. Look at that. He was found dead October 16th after a weekend of parties celebrating his 72nd birthday. Officials are still determining his cause of death, but they don't suspect foul play. He beat Democratic educator Lizzie Romanov for Nevada's 36th Assembly District, which includes rural communities and large sections, stretches of the desert in the southern part of the state. Hoff owned a handful of brothels in Nevada, the only state that allows them to legally operate. He starred in the HBO adult reality series Cat House and wrote a book titled The Art of the Pimp, akin to Trump's book The Art of the Deal. So clever. Porn actor Ron Jeremy, who's been on the show, and a prostitute discovered Hoff dead at Hoff's. Look, Joe is losing his shit over here.
Of course
he was
they
rocking
did.
Back and forth like a chick on a dildo at the Bunny Ranch. At Hoff's Love Ranch, brothel, about an hour outside of Las Vegas. He had spent the four previous days partying with notables from the sex industry and political world.
But you could just imagine like he's in front of God right now. Look, I've been nice and stuff like, really? Look who just found you.
He's living his best life, Joe. Yeah.
Look who's standing over you, slapping you with his dick to try to revive you.
It's a hedgehog. Hoff ran for office in 2016 as a Libertarian but lost the race. This year he ran as a Republican and earned backing from Trump associate Roger Stone and tax cut activist Grover Norquist. Really? Grover Norquist?
Great.
Jesus Christ. He upended Nevada politics this summer when he ousted an incumbent Republican lawmaker in a primary, celebrating at an election night party with the Hollywood Madam Heidi Fleiss. Nevada's 36th Assembly District has long been a Republican-held seat. The sprawling district touches both California and Utah, and you if you don't want yourself. And includes the Nevada National Security Site where nuclear weapons were once tested. I couldn't vote for a dead person. I just can't. I know that they give the seat over to somebody from the party, and that's what it is. I just would stay home. I couldn't vote for a dead person.
I just want to be at the kitchen table where the person who lost has to explain that they lost to a dead
How
pimp.
Bad do you suck to lose to a stiff?
Yeah, really.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know if I'd even fall. It's like, you know, they're dead.
Yeah, I'm going to leave this one blank.
Yeah, I'm leaving it blank.
I mean, you understand. I don't know. Some people understand. I was going to say everybody understands, but I doubt that. Some people understand that the Republican Party in the state will give it to somebody else.
Right.
So you're really voting for generic Republican to fill that seat. But I think a lot of people don't know. They go, I'm going to vote for the dead guy. What a goof. Or he could still run. Can't be any worse.
Yeah, right.
Better than that libtard.
Oh, God. I can actually hear that being said.
I'm sure it's being said.
They could give his acceptance speech at the same time as the eulogy. It'll work out fine.
Wait a minute. Wouldn't it be a concession and a cremation?
It's nice to watch you kids workshop a bit. It's like watching.
No, I walked. I walked away.
Yeah,
she said. She said, "Where are you going?"
Hey, wait for me. I got more.
I got worse.
I got toys. Let's play with these sharp scissors and knives.
Look, I just ripped.
And Joe's like, "Oh, okay." I opened up the Pandora's box.
Look, I just ripped a tag off a mattress. Wait.
Now, why couldn't you be that funny?
I just did.
Yeah, you did. You have it in you.
See?
You just need to harness the force. I think the guy won because he's famous. I think it's the same thing with Trump. People like famous people. They know who this guy is. Nobody in their right mind is voting for a pimp. The Huggy Bear never won an election.
I did.
And
what if he
did?
Although I could see I could see Joe making the argument. Well, he's a businessman. Yeah. That's the argument with Joe. We need a businessman.
And he works with the police.
he helped out
Starsky and Hutch a lot.
Oh, Huggy Bear.
Yeah.
I was talking about Hoff. Like,
we're still on Huggy Bear.
No, I can relate to him. Thousands of women. Joe's like, yeah, he's my type of guy. Businessman, thousands of women. He knows how to get shit done and keep bitches quiet.
Right.
He's got my vote.
Right.
Yeah, he's partying with Ron Jeremy. How back can he be?
He's trying to get something through. Maybe Amber and can stop by.
Joe. That's unfortunate. All right, let's cue up the old "You Stink" for Pip here. Hold on.
You stink.
All right, Pip. What stinks?
Okay. On my way to my brother's house yesterday to bring him some coffee, and I talked to him on the phone, and he says, "Look, can you stop by Target for me and pick up a vacuum cleaner? I'm about to order online." So his boss is going to come over and visit him, and he has this little rug, but he wants to tidy up. And he ordered a vacuum. It's not
By the
coming.
Way, I wish more of you women did that before I popped over. Tidy up that little rug of yours. A little respect. Oh, stop it. We just talked about a dead pimp. Don't you act like like it's too much for you, and how dare I. Please.
I could just see what he just said, and then you see the news guy, Rosenblatt, who's trying to run for county seat, said that despicable display.
Yeah.
There's nothing despicable about it.
Tidy up your rugs, women.
Yeah, it's not anti-woman.
Rosenblatt trying to explain himself.
No, because I'm trying, because I support women and I'm trying to make them the best they can be.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. No, nobody's voting for a nappy.
Rosenblatt attempting to walk that back.
No,
got caught again.
I'm not. I would run headfirst into the abyss. That was her name, Abyss.
Yeah. Why are you pointing at me? You're running headfirst into what?
No, I don't walk back. I'm not some pussy Joe. I own my shit. That's right. Yeah. I own the awful things I say.
And now on Shark Tank, Pussy Swiffer.
Ooh.
Yes.
That's a case the snot shovel bombs.
Well, we have this other product we've been working on, the Pussy Swiffer. We find that when pussies are properly stimulated, they get wet. But then it can get too wet, and you could slip and slide and hurt yourself.
That's why you need the Swiffer.
You could sprain a groin. That's why you get the Pussy Swiffer. Endorsed by Stormy Daniels.
Yes.
Well, I wasn't picking up a Pussy Swiffer at Target. I was pissed. Pissing.
You were pissing?
Pissing
again, multiple uses for the Pussy Swiffer.
I'll sit here and
mop up piss.
I'll sit here and relax, boy. I'm taking a break.
Pip has a tongue that she'd like tied.
So,
well, that's how you get the pussy all wet for the Swiffer.
Yes,
I find.
And that's the noise it makes, too.
When I'm jovial and I'm in a cartoonish mood, like on a Saturday morning. Why? Why do I have to grow out cartoony things, Joe?
No, stay in cartoony things.
So Pimp Helix is going orders his vacuum from Target, and I go to pick it up. I've never done this before, so I go to.
You never got a vacuum before?
No, I've never picked up something.
Oh, those fucking things.
That would make that would make sense.
What is this vacuum you speak of?
Yeah. No, I've never had him order something online and I go pick it up.
Well, you've never been his bitch before, but it's a new role.
No, it is a new role. I'm trying on for size. It fits, apparently. So I go and to customer service and I say, my brother ordered a vacuum. Picking it up for him. How do you go about this? And so this very nice young woman is looking at me like she's about to answer. She actually has the thought bubble over her head and her mouth opens to answer me. And then all of a sudden, Mr. Know-It-All jumps in. The guy next to her.
A little mansplaining?
Yeah, a little mansplaining. Older guy that's obviously worked there for a while. Mr. Nebbish has to jump in.
Mr. Nebbish?
Yes, and explain how you do this.
That was a character that was... That would have been a great character for Sesame Street. Once Mr. Hooper died, Mr. Nebbish should have moved in.
Yeah.
Well, you see, this is how you do it, and then you have to... This is what we need, and how do we know that you're supposed to pick it up for him? Because he spent a whole $25 on this vacuum, and you could be just anybody coming in up the street.
What vacuum is he getting? Is it a midget picking shit up by hand?
And you could be just... What am I, some fucking nut picking up Hoovers?
Well, in his defense, look at her.
Yeah, good. Okay. Yeah.
She is a pussy swiffer.
So I look at him, and I say, okay, I didn't know that when he ordered it online that he was supposed to pick up an alternate pickup person. I don't know if he put that in there.
So he has to say, there has to be somebody designated.
You have to designate a person.
I got to tell you from experience, it's easier to pick up kids after school.
It really is. I could have had a whole van full of them before I got this fucking
vacuum. Let me see those stickers on that van, Missy.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Who's in the bullseye? Oh, my God, it's Davin. No. sorry. A little harsh. So I go.
Was this prepaid or are you planning to pay for it?
Prepaid.
All right.
But they don't want to stealing the $25 vacuum cleaner. Job.
The whole $25. It's really one of those.
It's a hand vac?
It's a hand vac that converts into a standing one.
Well,
it's actually pretty clever.
Yeah, but really, how much is Pimp Helix going to use the standing one at this point?
Yeah, you know what? It's just for.
Unless you're vacuuming.
It's just for little touch ups.
You know? What, Joe?
Awfully. Rosenblatt, again.
Again.
Was I wrong?
After he was done with the Gold Star families, he attacked the amputee. Yeah.
Attempting to walk back his statement.
Yeah, it's good enough for the president, it's good enough for me.
Then he realized he was talking about an amputee, he had to hop back his statement.
No, fake news.
Fake news? Fake what? News.
Well, just because I said it doesn't mean I said it. Truth is not truth. Nothing can be proven. Alternative facts. I got them all, baby. You're not nailing me down.
So now this guy is saying, well, you know, he's supposed to designate an alternate person to pick it up.
So now, can Pimp Helix be called? And how would they know it's Pimp Helix on the phone?
This is exactly what I said. Do you want me to call him and he can designate me as the person? And he goes, well, just to be fair, I don't know who you're calling. And so I say, okay. And
I would have been, look, you asshole, get me the vacuum cleaner or I get the fucking thing.
Well, the story would have had a different ending if it was you.
So I look at this guy like, I'm so weary. And
See, that's not in your repertoire.
No. No.
So I said to him, okay, so I need to pick up this vacuum, and how are we going to fix this? So he says, I'll call my manager. And
wait, he's not even the manager?
No, he's just some guy that, like, nuzzled his way into the conversation.
You busybody, go down to aisle 5 and fuck yourself.
Going to need the pussy swiffer to clean that up.
Well, hopefully that's ordered and we have the documentation. We ain't getting the damn thing.
I'm sure she's got him in the fucking van. I mean, she's going door to door selling pussy swiffers.
That's true.
I know. They're wildly successful.
I believe it, especially when I come to town.
The demonstration model is a little...
gamey.
Yeah. It needs to be go out for servicing.
Can you hose down, get the power washer.
Shit is fucking stiffer than
a lot of paper. Crevices in that damn thing too. You gotta take your time.
The stories it could tell.
They're cemented shut now.
Barrel of douche. Look up to the nozzle.
New podcast, Barrel of Douche.
Barrel of Douche. Barrel of Douche.
That'd be a good name for a band.
Barrel of Douche.
Douche. Yeah.
I thought that was what we go into when we're bad.
Yes.
The Barrel of Douche. So, at one point I said, he goes, I think he asked me something along the lines of, well, he can't come and get it. And I said, he's an amputee. He can't come and get it himself.
Oh, look at you playing the amputee card. Good for
you,
girl.
Yeah, I'm going there.
Yeah.
It's true.
Throw that leg down.
Well, that's why I'm his bitch
picking
up his vacuum.
Here's the difference between her and me. She told the truth. I'd concoct some fucking story.
No, I feel like you would have had the leg ready to go. I feel like you would have dropped it on the table.
Yeah.
I just looked at him. I said, he's an amputee. He can't come here and get it himself. I'm picking it up for him. How do we get this done? So
good for you.
So he goes, oh, let me call my manager. Because, and then while the manager is shuffling his slow-ass way over, he tells me at least three times, well, see, it's store policy. We can't just give it to anybody because we don't know who it is, and it's already paid for it. I'm like blinking slowly at him like you just did. Like, really? 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 I'm losing my temper, but I'm so like...
I hope you're also thinking this is going to be great for the show simultaneously.
I was,
good,
actually.
Good girl.
And I was like,
a lot
done.
Of times you'll be in that position, oh, this is blows, but it's going to...
Constantly.
It's going to kill 15.
Constantly.
I'm standing there waiting for the manager and listening to this guy bloviate about their policy, and I'm thinking...
What are you with the sat word?
And I'm, thank you. And I was thinking, you know what? You Stink is coming up. So
I hope you let him know. I hope
you know what? You're going to be the feature on You Stink.
Tell him you have a radio show. That's what I've dropped that. Joe's dropped that.
Yeah.
I have a radio show, and you're going to be famous for all the wrong reasons.
So then Smock Full of Stupid comes over. And he,
Smock Full of Stupid! Yeah. Look at Pip! And it was just 10 minutes ago where she was making a mess trying to tag on to your joke, and then she comes back with Smock Full of Stupid.
See.
Good girl!
Thank you. And he is the manager, and I'm like, oh my God. So I keep this to myself.
It's the worst puppet ever.
Nobody likes him.
Because
he's stupid.
He's got a smock. Nobody respects people in smock.
No.
Even Bob Ross didn't wear a smock. He wore his little blue shirt. And if you got some paint splattered on, so what? That's the price you pay for painting a bush.
Right. It's happy little accident.
And clappy little clouds.
And we're always back to Bush. So I look at him and I'm like, oh, God, you're even... dumber than this one. I can tell.
That's how we got to be management.
So he's like, okay, so what's, so we have to explain the problem. Oh, did he call like half an hour ago? I said, yes. I was bringing him a coffee. He said, can you sweep by?
You know, in their defense, you should have come with a written affidavit.
So I know, I should have, really. So I said, look, I understand why I can't call him and ask him to thing, but I'm sure that when he had to order this thing, he put his phone number on the order. How about you call him and ask if I'm allowed to pick it up? And he looks at me, blink, blink. He's thinking this over. And then instead of getting on the fucking phone, because this is a reasonable request.
By the way, at this point, I would have called your brother and go, fuck it, crawl here. I'm done.
But sometimes you get these dopes that don't think out of the box.
Yeah,
with the pussy swiffer?
he can't figure this out. So I'm thinking this is a reasonable thing. Like, what kind of...
No, you're right.
Like
you're
on said,
point.
You said the Democrats can't think up these evil genius plots. I'm sitting home waiting to hack into somebody's
the Democrats
vacuum
are the target
order.
Managers
yeah.
of politics.
Do you think if I was going to pull a fast one, it would be for a fucking vacuum?
A $25.
A $25 like, vacuum?
It would be a dirt devil, motherfucker.
I mean,
yeah,
look,
really?
if it's a big screen TV, hey, what's going on? But for a dirt devil, are you that fucking stupid?
It's this little, little tiny kind of vacuum, and I'm really, really, it's not much bigger than a dildo, and it sucks harder. It's really, I'm going to waste my time on this.
Dildos don't really suck, dear.
No, they don't. But that would be an excellent.
I don't know what to. I don't know what to make of that one. What do we do with that joke?
It was a joke.
Well,
workshopping it now.
Funny, but I see your point.
Yeah, that's not what.
What do we do with that one?
Well, I mean, I think. Nice
you get
people.
Partial credit. Right?
I think nice people would have just like laughed and gone with it, but that's
right.
the wrong show.
But we're assholes. So,
yeah, so this is probably what
comics
we do
too,
with it.
So
you stop the
we
momentum of her fucking story is what we're going to do, apparently.
Listen, how about a dildo with
all right, we'll both shut our faces. Go.
No, a dildo with a clit-sucking attachment would sell big, let
now
me
we
tell
stop
you.
Again.
Well, they
a
have
bridge
the
too far.
They have the clit-tickling attachment.
I know, but a clit-sucking attachment, now that would do it.
Yeah, but then it would suck too hard. Next thing you know, it looks like a fucking pimple.
It would be like pulled off and sucked into the machine, I guess. I don't know.
Boy, if that was, they'd be a fucking canister that would look like a jet fuselage.
Wait a second.
Dear, do you know where Clint is now, or are we, I don't know. Because in the past you haven't, so I just want to, I don't want to do these jokes without you knowing what we're talking about.
I understand.
Okay.
I'm going to sell you one of those pillows that shows you exactly where to go. You know, anatomically correct. So the thing is, yeah, but not completely, because it won't need a Swiffer. I'm totally annoyed by this guy, but I'm keeping my cool. And so he says to me, well, you know, it's store policy that we're not allowed to do this. So in the future, could you tell him that he has to designate someone to pick it up? And I'm like, oh, God, he's going to school me on how this works.
Yeah, really, Target
really,
guy, go fuck yourself.
He goes, well, you say you're his sister? And I'm like, yes. Do you have the same last name? And I'm like... You
yes,
know,
we're both. Hey, I'm Pip Helix. He's Pimp Helix. Let's go, motherfucker.
Yeah, it's like Helix. Let's go. So I'm thinking we do happen to have the same last name, but what if I was married? This is going to fuck the pooch
well,
here?
You are.
I I do have the same last name.
Yeah, but
it's
you
like,
are married.
I am. I am married, but I mean, I say I took my
you know what?
My married name.
She just stepped into a way bigger hole with her husband than I ever did with the political shit.
But I'm just, what if I was married? But I'm just saying, thank God, if the two of us were there, it's like, why are those two guys flipping a coin? They're seeing who wants to rip you a new asshole.
I don't see why we can't share.
Okay.
Yeah, really, there's plenty of asshole for both of you here. You've heard about my problems. So,
not you.
Oh, mine? Oh, no.
The guy.
Not you.
Yeah, I get sensitive.
Yours
when you're
getting ripped right
now.
Yeah,
rectal guilt.
Yes, I felt that. Yeah. Rectal guilt.
That was Joe. He's not gentle like he should be.
Yeah, I know. Damn.
His hands are rough.
Yeah. Real. I'd rather have it on my leg than ripping a new one back there. That's
sensitive. You have the patience of a saint with us and this guy.
Oh, my God.
Really.
Oh, my God. So I looked at him, and he goes, you have the same last name? I'm thinking, do you know how, like, being siblings that are, like, in our 50s works? This is going to prove it to you. So I go, yeah, and I pull out my ID. It has the same last name. So these two numbskulls decide together. I could see the mind meld. I mean, it was like a little fizzle. There was a little smoke coming out of both of them, and they decided that they were going to let me get away with it. But then, between the two of them, they explain to me no fewer than 7 times that in the future, he has to designate somebody to pick up this thing, or else they're not going to give the goods.
Here's the answer to that. In the future, we're going to Walmart.
Yeah.
That's the answer.
In the future, this will never happen again.
You guys have ruined that.
Yeah, there will never be
another. We're taking our vacuum cleaner business elsewhere.
Yeah, there's not going to be another Target pickup. And then, because I had picked up a couple of things, because my brother's ex-wife has been making meals for him. But he's paying her to do it. But every time she takes the plates away, she takes away his cutlery. And so he has, like, no forks in the house left.
That's a weird scam. Because
she keeps taking them away.
Cutlets for cutlery.
Well, you know.
Why does she take them?
Because she's an asshole. She thinks they're hers.
You asked.
And
that was a good answer, too.
It most certainly was.
Yeah.
So concise and to the point.
Right. She's a thoughtless cunt.
Wow.
Hey, I got a picture of my grandma on my wallet. Watch it there.
That's like Joe saying, I love Hillary and meaning it. I never thought I would hear that.
Yeah, really? I know. No, she totally is. If anybody deserves that word, this woman does. So anyway.
Joe would say the same about Hillary, by the way.
I know.
I believe that.
So they're totally out of forks. They have a few spoons. They have a couple of knives. I'm talking about him and his son that she threw out because he's gay. That's another story. So the two of them.
This is going to be a quick segment.
The two of them have
no it's
going to
be
silverware.
Longer because we have to hear that.
Yeah, the two of them
I don't
have
give
no
a damn
silverware.
What's going on in the prep
so
sheet.
Now,
she didn't throw them off a building like the Middle East.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm buying a little bit of silverware, and I have a bunch of forks. I bought like 6 spoons and a couple of knives so that
why
they have
just
something.
Buy a set for $20?
No, because I know how much they need each thing. Because
but more
is going to
disappear. So just buy a fucking set.
I should, but they're... They're going to disappear anyway, but they have to use something. They're using rocks and fingers at this point. So it's like the ends of cardboard boxes to shovel things into their sad mouths.
Yeah,
because
you
took
you
everything.
Think Pimp Helix ever thinks, you know, I used to stick my dick in that. I can't believe where we're at in this relationship. Mm.
What? What?
Like, about his ex.
Oh, God. I was like, don't look at me and say that.
No,
gross.
We didn't.
Oh,
no.
Phew. Okay. So now.
Different show.
Yeah, they're totally different. They're on a very special Davenstein. So,
we were just trying to solve gun problems. Now we're trying to figure out if you're fucking your brother.
Ew. Ew.
This show is stupid.
So gross. Really stupid.
I have no arguments.
So now, because I have an uneven amount of silverware that I'm buying, he's making little jokey jokes about what I'm buying.
Who is?
Smendrick number one.
Really?
See, now at this point, I feel like Joe or I should have been called because you need help.
No, I'm just looking at him and he goes, oh, what? So not everybody's going to get soup?
You know what? You should put us over. You just hear the guy go, I beg your pardon? You fucking heard me. Who is they?
Here. Listen to him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Joe, rip this guy a new asshole. Right. I'm just too tired.
Well, you go, well, yeah, he works at Target, too, so we can't afford the full set.
Thank you for working on these things. But I just looked at him like,
that's
really?
Why you need us on speed
really?
Dial.
Really?
Assholes on call. It's our business.
You think it looks bored in the box. Where do you see it in your colon in the x-ray? The fucker.
So that's
I didn't know
why...
a ladle could go there.
Believe me, we'd make it fit.
Really? That's my Target. You fucking stink.
Well, okay. That was a lot.
Now, who's gay and who's getting their silverware thrown out? What's this story?
Ah, Mike. Well,
we were out, you know. We were done.
We got to hear this.
Really quick story. When my
do you know her? There's no such thing.
When my brother's stepson came out as gay at 16, his delicious, lovely ex decided that no sinner of hers is going to live with her, and he's evil, and he's been spoken to by the devil. First, she was going to send him back to his El Salvador.
Caravan doesn't go that way.
Yeah,
only
I know,
heads north.
I know.
Doesn't go south.
I know.
He'd have to go by himself.
Backing up causes tire damage. Yeah. They were gonna just like pray the devil out of him
and stay out.
Right. This woman was a nut.
Yeah. So she was just like, no, out of my fucking house. And so my brother's like, yeah, no. I still live here, you fucking nut. I own the top half of the house. So now he lives upstairs with my brother.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You asked.
Yeah.
All right.
There you go.
Well, drunk's in the news. Because it's...
Welcome to Drunks in the News.
And our Benjamin Franklin drinking term is, he's Prince Eugene.
I don't even know what to do with that.
I don't know what that means. Joe, you're the alcoholic here.
I would guess Prince Eugene was somebody that liked to have a drink or two.
I don't think there is a Prince Eugene.
I don't know. Look, I don't know.
Right.
Well,
look
it up.
Well, there is after like six or seven beers.
You won't find it in the notes, Joe. I just found it before the show.
He's like, where did that come from?
I just found it before the show. Wayne, New Jersey. A man who was charged with DWI after rear-ending his car into another said he drank too much because the New York Jets suck.
And now we go to break.
Hold on. All right, we're back now. I just had to play the J-E-T-S. Jets. Police gave Christopher Greylock a field sobriety test, which he failed during the test. The 53-year-old West Milford man told the police he drank too much because of the Jets' lousy play. By the way, they sucked a bag of gay dicks.
Oof.
They were awful.
Ugh.
41-10, and it wasn't that close.
Oof.
Police found
wasn't that close.
It wasn't. Police found a bottle of whiskey 3/4 full on the front passenger seat, suspected marijuana, a marijuana roach, and 2 packages of rolling papers in the vehicle. I think this guy knew the Jets were going to suck. That's very prepared.
And he was very upset about it.
By the way, it's finally sucked. I can't relate to these people.
And rolling papers. He doesn't. Everybody vapes now.
This is your complaint.
Rolling papers, man. All right.
Police responded to the motor vehicle crash at Alps Road and Route 23 at 5:15 Sunday. They found Greylock lying on the grass near the vehicle, said Detective Captain Lawrence Martin. Greylock got up, walked towards police, but was not able to walk straight, Martin said. He said he was driving his car and rear-ended a car stopped in traffic. That's when police gave him the field sobriety test. Greylock had a blood alcohol content of 0.13. Martin said he was arrested and charged with assault by auto, DWI, reckless driving, possession of marijuana, possession of drug paraphernalia, and having an open container of alcohol.
And being a Jets fan. Yeah.
I hope the Jets realize what they fucking did. I hope they're taking a little responsibility for this. This poor man wants us to support his team, and the Jets lay that turd. Yeah, they're the ones who should be charged, not this man. I watched the game. You know what? This is why people kick puppies and beat wives and drive drunk and rear-end people because of the Jets. I understand.
He was a teetotaler until that night.
Yeah, sure. Never had a drink in his life.
Never.
Never did drugs, but the Jets drove him to that.
Wow.
Bleeds green, but he never touched a drop before.
Poor guy. Yeah. So, I thought that. Don't you feel that was worthy of getting on the air, Joe?
Oh.
Joe's just happy because his awful team won a game.
Yeah. See, he was on the grass, and then he was on the grass.
Oh, God. I can't find this music to get the break quick enough. This one. We'll be back real short. We'll do some scam busters and scamming scammers.